Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing? I hope you guys have had an amazing weekend. I hope you guys went to somebody's temple, somebody's prayer service yesterday, which is truly our Shabbat. You all know that Sunday was changed by the Roman Catholics, so Sunday is not the Shabbat. Saturday is. Okay, I wish you guys would do research on that. Hey, I just wanted to come here just for a second today. And I've been seeing a lot of stuff that's going on between the black culture and, you know, the men and the women. Okay, I want to address that tonight. But first of all, I want to give you guys the title. And I do appreciate you guys for coming, for tuning in. Thank you so much, you guys. The title for tonight is going to be No More Stockholm Syndrome, Time to Heal Our Relationship, Black Man and Woman. And I thank you for tuning in tonight, which is Sunday night, which is a Mother's Love Night. We talk a little bit about the book that I wrote. You guys, go ahead and order your copy. Don't forget, it is on my Facebook page. You guys can order your copy. It'll kind of, you know, I know you know some young woman or some young man out there that needs that book. It's not just for women. It's for men also. I want to give you the number in case you guys want to tune in on the phone. You guys can listen in on the phone. That number is 563-999-3682. You guys have been doing an amazing job during the week, coming back, checking out our broadcast. If anybody wants to get in contact with me, you can contact me through Hard Truth, 12@gmail.com, which is HARDTRUTHZ, 12@gmail.com. So if anybody wants to contact me, you can contact me that way. Anybody want to do an ad on my show, feel free to contact me through my Gmail, and we can work something out. I did give you the number. So just wanting to touch a little bit on this, we are here for an hour on Sundays and 2 hours on Thursday. And Thursdays we talk about the Black family. And it's always, I am Black first, okay? And you know, let's not get it twisted. Because I talk Black first does not mean I hate everybody else. That's not the case. The case is that Black folks, as we know it, is at a 911, okay? And I really want to get attention on our 911 case because nobody else is doing it. Pastors aren't doing it, okay? The government's not going to tell you that you're at a 911. So I just want to for us to get our, you know, change our mindset a little bit. In order for us to move ahead, we have to deal with some things in the past that we've been passing down from generation to generation. I know a lot of us is getting taxes. This is a great time, you guys, to save up your money to start your own business. You can have online businesses. You can take a trade up. You can, you know, put down on stop buying cars. And, you know, you get a car for, and it lasts, what, 3 months, and then you back walking for the next, you know, 9 months. Come on, now. Let's do something different. Let's plan a trip to Africa. Let's do something different. Let's invest that money. You have some great investments coming down the pike now. You can learn how to do the trade, this stock market. You can, you know, make money going up and down in the stock market. Some people say, oh, the stock market is crashing. No, you can make money both ways. There is a young lady on Facebook, what is her name? I forget her name right now. I'll look her up and I'll give it to you at the end. But she's teaching you how to do the trade stock market. And I think we as Black folk need to get into that. Let's get right into it. We're not going to waste a whole lot of time because I only have an hour. You know, I can talk, okay? I always get off focus. But we are talking about the Stockholm Syndrome. And why is it that Black men and women have such a hatred for one another? That just behooves me. I'm not understanding. You know where that Stockholm Syndrome came from? Sweden. It's really a thing. It's called Stockholm Syndrome. And it was something that started in Sweden, and it was a bank robber. And this was like in 1973. They had a bank robbery in Sweden, and it lasted for 6 days, right? And the people that was being held captive, at the end, they, you know, I guess they had gotten formed personal relationship with these people. They were talking personal about their little business and why they was robbing a bank, and they began to build a bond with the bank robbers. And do you know, within that 6 days, they had formed relationships, like sleeping together, and they didn't want to really tell on the bank robbers. They had formed such a bond with those bank robbers that they didn't even want to tell the police officers what had happened. They didn't want to identify them. They didn't want to they didn't want to say anything. So people were looking at them like, what in the world is going on? So then you had like another case in the 70s, like 1974. Remember Patty Hearst? This was a young woman that had been kidnapped, okay? Her dad and mom were really super rich, and they had taken her for hostage. And she was with these people for months, okay? And we begin to see her robbing banks, and she was committing all these crimes with these people. And we were looking like, was she kidnapped, or did she go on her own? Because she was just like, she was working with the kidnappers. She had the weapon in her hand and everything. And then at the end, she didn't even want to testify against her people. You know, and then you had another one who was kidnapped named Elizabeth Smart. Okay, she was also, when she was approached by the police didn't want to, you know, like I said, she didn't want to identify her kidnappers. And then she asked the police at the end, are they going to get in trouble? Are they going to jail? Are they going to get a lot of time? And the police officers began explaining, yeah, they committed a crime. And they said this woman started crying on the way to the police, you know, on the way for her to be checked out. She began to cry about what had happened and about the, not what had happened, but about the bank robbers and how they were going to get in trouble. And it was like a protection for them. So it's almost like we develop a protection, and we've developed a protection of white folks from slavery. It's almost like it's in our DNA, okay? And you have to understand, over time, they have literally taught us how to think, because guess what? We gave them our children, right, to educate, right? So they begin to train us as babies, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. That's a long time to be up under your open enemy. And they can train and teach you to do and say anything. They can begin to pour into you how great they are and how nothing you are. They can pour into our babies anything. You can change a whole society. You can change a whole generation just by getting to those children. That's why they're trying to get into our children now and start teaching them the LGBT element of peace. Okay? That's why they want to begin to change the mindset. It's all about genocide for us. It's not about sex. It's about genocide and weakening our men. So when this big war, you know, comes up, our men are going to be running like women. They're going to have their heels on, their nails on, their eyelashes, their wigs, and they're going to be running like women, okay, running probably faster than women, okay, in their heels, with their pantyhose on, okay, with their wigs, okay? That's what it's about. It's about genocide. It is not about sex. It's about genocide. So it has nothing to do with sex. So we have to begin to look at this Stockholm Syndrome. Why are we so attached to white folk? Why are we so attached to our open enemy? Why are we so attached to our slave master's children? Okay, children's children now. Why are we so attached? And it's almost like it's getting worse. I remember we were so proud to be black, but now nobody wants to be black. Everybody, I see more black kids hanging out with more white kids than I do black kids hanging out with black kids. And then I see like the civil rights. You remember John Lewis and Eugene Cummins and all those civil rights dudes, okay? I see them holding on to the past for the last 50 years. The civil rights has not gone anywhere. Most of them now is working under white folk, like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. All of them have got up under white folk, and they're allowing the white folk to use them, and they're paying them. Yes, they look like us, but they're not for us, family. Yes, they look like us, but they're not for us. A lot of black folk. When I looked at Bloomberg and I seen 12 Congress, 12, and like four of the Black Caucus members, who is really for Bloomberg, okay? And I see signs, black folk for Bloomberg. I look at that and I go, wow, Stockholm Syndrome. That's really what it is. No matter how bad Bloomberg treated the black folk, you still have some coon down Negroes that's rooting for him because he paid them. And they sold their souls to him. And not only did they sell their souls, they sold you out. So like Bobby Rush, and all these other people that he has convinced to back him, they sold out their constituents. And I hope and pray that you guys, I got the list. I hope and pray that you guys, I think I read it before, that you guys check them. I hope that you guys return a favor when it's time for you guys to reelect them. We have to show treasonous behavior. That's treason. We have to show people that have the treasonous behavior that is not appreciated, and it won't ever be appreciated. And we will deal with you wisely. We will deal with you. We don't need treason in our camp. When you find a treason in the camp, you're supposed to kill them. You're supposed to not, I'm not, no, let me change that. I'm not saying to kill them physically. The behavior, the relationship, you kill the relationship. You don't, I'm not talking about the person. Let's not get it twisted. I mean the relationship. You let that relationship go. You disconnect that relationship. You don't continue being friends with somebody you know that's selling you out. That is the Stockholm Syndrome. And you know, this system has already set us up, okay, as far as, you know, like I said, from babies, from generation to generation, and we're getting closer and closer to our enemies. Now they're allowing you to marry their children, okay, which is totally crazy because, I'm going to say it, I've not met one white woman that's not dysfunctional. Because they believe in sleeping with their children. They believe in having sex with, you know, they have sex with the brothers, they have sex with the father, they have sex with, you know, the mom, they have sex with other women. They're dysfunctional. And our men are choosing dysfunctional women because they're dysfunctional. So dysfunction draws dysfunction, okay? And they hate their blackness. And it's so sad because it's called self-hate. And we have been taught in these schools, in the media, by the TV, to hate our blackness, to hate being black. When you go to a school and they tell your son, you have to cut your dreads. You can't come to school with those dreads in your head. But they allow your son to wear a dress. That's crazy. What are you teaching my son? What am I allowing you to teach my son? Why aren't we so sick and tired of this behavior that we are not stepping out and getting our own schools? Okay? Why aren't we doing that? Why do we keep complaining, but doing nothing? Stockholm Syndrome. What is hate? Let's talk about that. What is hate? You know what? I'm not done with the Stockholm Syndrome. I want to talk a little bit more about that. Okay? When we see Stockholm Syndrome, that means you have a positive bond with your open enemy. Okay? With your captors, with your open enemy. Okay, that means you don't want to leave them. You're defending them. You're supporting them. Okay, that's what we're doing with the white folks. That's what we're doing with them. Okay, it's almost like they don't realize that they've been abused or being abused. They don't realize that. It's like a disorder. It's like a mental disorder. It's not normal, but you feel that it's normal, okay? And the fear is what's keeping us connected or attached to our open enemy right now. We were held in captivity for over 400 years. Do you understand the damage that did? We were so dependent on them that we as black women could not look to our men for protection, and it was done on purpose. That was done on purpose because every time we did, they would take our men and buck break him. They would take our men and, you know, and show us by doing something to him and letting us know that he can't protect you, and that was done on purpose. So, therefore, if you have a man and you saw this and you're going through all of this hell and your man is right there and he can't open his mouth or won't open his mouth, do you not know how angry you will get at your man for not taking up, for not defending, for not protecting you? We begin to develop a hatred for them. We begin to develop malice. We begin to develop malice toward our own men because you can't protect me. I got to look to this man as raping me every night possibly, and you can't do nothing about it but sit there, lay there, and know he's coming, you see him coming in my room, and you're not doing nothing? We developed a hatred over the years, you guys. And then the black man looked at us and began to hate us because he couldn't protect us, because he couldn't stop Master from coming in our room, because he couldn't stop Master because he knew he would lose his wife. So instead of him dying for us, he settled. And that made us even more mad. You see what's happening, and you're not going to do nothing? And he's looking at us like, I can't do nothing. Then he's mad at us because we don't understand. You don't understand. I can't do nothing. The root of all of this was feeling so useless. Useless. That's what they felt in those days. The man felt useless. He felt like, I can't do nothing. I can't protect my own woman. So he began to look at us different. It was almost like he was saying, you allowing him to come in your room and do that to you. And we're looking at him like, you allowing him to come in there doing that to us. So it was almost like we were blaming each other. But we couldn't blame Master. We couldn't blame him. So we were looking at each other. And the more the years went by, the more we got up under the submissiveness of Master, the more we began to hate our own men. 400 years of hate, 400 years of rage, 400 years of anger, 400 years is a long time. That's a long time. 400 years of hate. How do we begin to heal that? How do we begin to hate? What is hate? What is hate? Hate is grounded in some type of a perceived threat. It's an attitude that can give rise to aggression. It's a feeling, an attitude that I'm trying to see how can I put it. It's anger. Okay, let's be simple. It's anger. Okay, it's anger. It's almost like it's a distraction. It's a reaction. And that's what we felt. We felt angry, and we're still feeling angry. And now then you have the media, movies, the music, all of that is producing anger toward her. You know, when Snoop Dogg, let's get on him at 50 Cent. Now, they were so-called trying to protect, right? Snoop ain't never protected black community. You remember when he was making all them songs and all them songs were talking about bees and hoes? Remember that? He was calling women out their names so bad, and he was promoting that to black youth, okay, our black women, our black babies, our girls and boys. He was producing that music. Because guess what? White folk, which is the elites, with the Jewish Zionists, look to see who's behind all this music. We're looking at white folks. Look to see the culture that's behind the media, the music, and the TV, and the entertainment. Look to see who is behind it. You have a lot of Jewish, mostly all of the radio, music, television programs, NBC, ABC, NBC, ABC, CBC, CNN, all of it. It's controlled by Jewish Zionists. You have to look this up to understand it. They want us to look as bad as they, because they know who we are. And they know that they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They make us look bad nationwide. But they know what they're doing. But what can we do about it? You have to understand the bigger picture, you guys. For 400 years. That's a long time. That hate is so thick that we have against each other. Our men will settle for a zero in some area because of the hatred. One of the black guys, I think, they called us a bulldog. Yes, we're strong. We've had to be strong. We've not had not a white woman on this earth could have gone through slavery, could have gone through any of what we've gone through. Couldn't have gone through 400 years of anything. They'd have killed themselves. They'd have jumped off or jumped in front of the nearest train or jumped in front of the nearest whatever, okay? They could not handle it. They can't even handle being single parents. I hear it all the time. What am I gonna do? I got to raise money by myself and I have to raise it by myself. And I have a job and I have just whining. I have to move back in with my parents. No, I couldn't handle it. You're weak. Weak. You want something that weak. And those white women will not ever know your pain. They will not ever feel your pain. They will not ever know your struggle. So I don't even know why you're settling for less. And that's exactly what our men have done. They settled for less. They settled for less. Why? Why? Why did they settle for less? Because they don't know how to deal with the hate. They don't know how to deal with the product of miscommunication, misunderstanding. And fear, empathy. They don't know how to deal with the fear. But, you know, empathy can resolve it, though. if we can get to the root of our fears between each other, we can rebuild our relationship, you guys. We have to separate, and I mean totally separate, to get the healing we need. Every time trauma happens in a person's life, we're supposed to get help, right? Counseling, right? But we didn't get any counseling from our 400 years of hell and still counting. We never got counseling. We never got any help. We never got placed back on the right road because we went from slavery and we tried to be on our own for a little bit. And what MLK did, he came and we was doing it. We was doing it. But we followed his dream that was a nightmare for black folk. When he came, because he was a pastor and he was a preacher, and black folk was into that church. But you don't know that Martin Luther King signed that abortion right thing. Check it out. Look it up. Martin Luther King signed that abortion thing. Look it up. Martin Luther King was being paid by the government to do exactly what he did, to bring black folk back under them. Because they saw we was kicking butt. Black folk was kicking butt. We didn't need no white folk. And they saw that, and they knew that. He said, we got to come on. We got to get these niggas back under control. We got to get back, get them back. Because we was rolling. Black Wall Street. We had over 200 cities. We had our own buses, own Negro leagues, own hospitals, own banks, own homes, land. We had it going on, y'all. But we still wasn't healed up. Because as soon as Martin Luther King came with that, I have a dream, we jumped on the bandwagon. Without looking at it first and say, hold on, let's look at this. Hold on now. What happened when we was under them under slavery? Nobody said that. Nobody thought that. We just dropped the ball and we just went on, came up. Okay, Martin Luther King said he got a dream. One day we're going to be doing this, that, and the other. And we stopped supporting our own. We stopped supporting. We stopped buying ice from black folks. We went over there to the white folks because we thought their ice was colder. Okay? Colder ice. We stopped purchasing our own from our own. And we start purchasing from them. So guess what? We start riding our buses, trying to ride on the back of their buses. We had our own buses. So we let our bus companies go. And Dr. Claude Anderson talks about that in Winston, North Carolina. His family owned the bus company. And it went bankrupt because black folks stopped riding the bus and was trying to ride on the back of white folk buses. Okay? You had your own buses. But you chose to go and ride on the back of black, white folks' buses. But you was owning your own buses. That's how unhealed up we were. You didn't understand that. We had our own bus company. But we wanted to ride the back of their buses because we thought their buses were better than our buses. But guess what? Our buses was our buses. We could sit anywhere we wanted to on our buses and not have to worry about discrimination, not have to worry about being told to move. We didn't have to worry about put your money in the front door and get off and get back on the back door. What the hell? Why would we do that? What was we thinking? We could climb on our buses and sit anywhere we wanted to. You can get on the front of your bus. You can sit on the front. You were owning your own. You owned your own home. You owned your own supermarket. You owned your own hospital. But you thought theirs was so much nicer. It might have been. But if we kept investing in our own, it would have gotten to where it was better than theirs. Because that's what we do. We invest in our own. But what we do, we thought, okay, well, Martin Luther King must be right here. I'm going to give up we had our own league. Remember that? Our own baseball league. And we gave that up to go play with some racists. What's that man named? Robinson. Ask him, was it better playing for the Negro League or the white folk league? Being harassed every day. Being harassed every day. Being chickled, nigga, every day. But when you had your own, you didn't have to deal with that. Why would we do that? Why would we leave our own Negro leagues to go play with them, their racist league, and be called niggas every day and be okay with that? That's Stockholm Syndrome. That's hating your own self. And that's them pouring in that hate. That's them telling you, helping you. That's them almost like continue pounding in, you're nothing. You're nothing. You'll never be nothing. We're still better than you. That was them pounding it into us. They was pounding it in. And then they was pounding it in our children because then we wanted our children to go to school with them devils. Why? Because Martin Luther King said he had a dream that turned out to be our worst nightmare. We're still living in that nightmare even today. And because we didn't think for ourselves, y'all left us right there in that mess. Because he never told us to mix and mingle. So you got to know that that was not a dream from Yah. Because he never told us to mix and mingle with our open enemy. And you thought because they were smiling in their faces, you could trust them. I'm telling you, how do we deal with this? How do we heal it? Our men are so damaged. Both men and women, we're damaged. But we got to begin to heal. We have got to change our mindset against each other. Let's make sure that our men know his role, and also the women. Let's make sure that our women, that us women know our roles. We're not men, women. We are not the head, ladies. Back down. I know you've had to do it for so long, and I know it's hard, but we have got to get in our rightful places. Every other culture, their men are in charge. Except in our culture. We've got to back down. We've got to get in our rightful places. We've got to put our men back as our head. We don't have to treat them like they're our sons. We don't want them to be our sons. But we can come together and we can kind of help each other. If you see, you know, because he lacks that ability to lead, but they're leaders. They just don't know it because they've not led in a long time. It's still there. We just have to pull it out, ladies, and we can pull it out without stepping in their position and on their toes. We have to know what's expected. What's expected of you women? What's expected of your man? What is expected? Does your man know what's expected of him? Do you know from him what's expected of you? We got to communicate. We got to talk about this. We got to. We give our men rewards for trying. You give your woman a reward for trying, for staying in her lane, for him taking the lead. Men don't need us to build nothing. Men, you guys don't need women to help you build. You should already have it built when you get to us. You already got their business going. And it is time for our men. And I hope when you get your taxes, we have men out here that are auto mechanics. Get your own garage. Get you one of them shelters that you can put your car up under. And if you live and rent a house, you put that shelter next to your house and you plug it in to your house and you get your business going with these taxes. Don't go out there and spend it on no car. Go out there, get hooked up, pull your money together. With a painter, a carpenter, a plumber, electrician. Get your money together and open up your storefront. You don't need but one room and put four desks in there and have one person or just have one desk and put you a secretary in there or one of your daughters can answer the phone and have four books, one electrician book, a carpenter book, a plumber book, and a painter book. And that one person can put in your appointments for you. Come on, we can do this, family. We have got to get our own back. We have got to support our own. We can do this. Make sure our relationships are set up for success. And we take every opportunity to call out bad behavior. So guess what? If you are in a relationship and y'all arguing a lot, get to the bottom of it, get to the root of it. Is it a communication problem? Go and see some, get some help, you guys. Therapist is great. You can get therapy. There are married therapists out there, black men, black women that are therapists that can help you get it on the right road. There's nobody perfect out there, but you're going to pray for each other. You're going to ask y'all to help you to be the best wife that you can be and help you to understand what you're doing. Because we've not done this and we've not had any training. We didn't see it growing up. But we've got to do it different. No longer are we baby mamas. Ask questions. And each answer will show you what's at the root of that problem and redirect. Redirect the assumption. It is time for us to do something different. It is time for us to get the healing that we need, you guys. It is time for us to get the healing we need. We can't continue on like this. We can't. We can't keep doing this. Our men have been hurt. Our men have been sexually abused. I'm going to go there. Our men have been sexually abused. And we don't even know it. We got to treat our men like kings. We've got to treat our men like kings. We've got to treat our women like queens, men. A woman want to feel secure, like you got her no matter what. She ought to be able to come home and talk to you about anything. And sometimes she don't even need you saying nothing. Just sit there and listen, men. I know you want to get in there and handle it, but you don't need to. All she needs you to do is just listen. And then she asks you, what do I need to do about someone? Can I talk about it? And women, we need to treat our men because they have hell. They have hell 24 hours a day. I'm not going to say 24, at least 8 hours when they're at work. When they come home, you ought to be greeting them at the door. Hey, honey. Hey, baby. How was your day? You are going, it is time for us to baby our men, ladies. It is time for us. We're not feminists. That's not who we are. Them white women talking about we feminists, they feminists, but they got their man. Huh. No, we're not feminists. We're not even thinking about you. And people say, I don't need no man to open my door. Yes, I do. I want my husband to open my car door and open my door, pull my chair out. I want to be treated special. Don't mean I can't do it. I can do it. But why do I need to? My husband said he could. If my husband likes to pull my chair, he likes to open the door, he likes to close it, let him. What's the problem? Stop it. Stop it. Our men have been abused. And we need to sit down one day a week and communicate. Ask them some questions. Some of our women have been abused. Ask them some questions. And they'll be ready for the answer. But I'm going to tell you what. If that woman gives you that answer, and if that man tells you, yes, I've been abused, you better not open your darn mouth to nobody else. Girl, you know my husband was abused. You know somebody was touching me. No. No. No, 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 no. We're not doing that. We are not doing that. He did not tell you that for you to sit up there and go tell your best friend. Don't you dare. Don't you dare open your mouth. What you guys talk about stays in your home. It stays in your home, ladies. I mean that. You don't go, well, let me tell you. No, it ain't her business. It ain't nobody's business but you and your husband. Because guess what? If he find out you didn't tell, no one will tell you nothing else. You know that. He is not going to want to tell you nothing else. So y'all stop it. You're there to support one another. And that's what it's about. Our men live in darkness, in a dark world. Bottomless pit. Just like us women, our men have suffered collectively, having suffered from historical trauma forever. And we have too. Yes, we have. But our traumas get talked about. We talk about our stuff. Men don't talk about their stuff, ladies. They don't talk about their traumas. They don't talk about their time they was abused. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about how they felt at work and how their supervisor made them feel less than a man and they couldn't do nothing about it. And it felt like, you know, all the way, you know, it's almost like slavery all over again. You go to some of these jobs and some of these men want to act like they all of that. Some of these white men, and you just want to knock the mess out of them. But they know, man, I got a house note, I got a car note, I got my, you know, kids, you know, take care of my kids. I can't act a fool. This is why you need your own men. This is why you need your own business. Stop dealing with these white folks. Stop dealing with them. You don't have to deal with them.
and you don't deserve it. Stop thinking that you can't have your own. If you have a craft, you have a gift, then you need to step out in that gift and open up your own. I don't care if you have to take your taxes. And if I'm your wife, I will help you. You get my taxes, you do your taxes, and you put your business. If you a plumber, you get you some cards. Ladies, it's $5 on Mr. Print. Get your husband some cards. Honey, look what I got you. I ordered you some cards. And you start passing them out for him. You have to pour this stuff. I'm not saying step on his toes. Especially if you know that this is what he's, and he's good at it, and he would love to do it. He just don't, you know, he's just kind of nervous. You don't have to overstep him, but you can kind of talk him through it. Honey, I got you. I'm going to get you. Honey, can I get you some cards? Can I get you some cards? I'm going to order you some cards. And talk about it. Talk about your dreams. Talk about where you're going. Talk about your future. Talk about the hardship. Man, you got to talk. We can't read minds. We need to know what's going on. Because women are communicators. We need to know if you're having an issue, if you're having a rough day, or if it's something that we said or done, or you know, because we move fast. Women move fast. We want to be able to love on you the right way. And if we're not loving you the right way, you've got to tell us. You might need a gift, and we might be wanting a whole hand. But your love language could be a gift. Or your love language could be affirmation, and we're not doing that. We hold you, we rubbing you down. But you're saying, man, I need to hear how much you love me. I need to hear that I'm awesome. I need to hear that I got it going on. I need to hear. Then tell us what you need. Ladies, listen. When your man come home and telling you, you know, y'all got a little pillow talk, late night talk, and he's telling you what he needs, listen. Listen. Don't be so quick to talk. Shh. Listen. Because once they talk, let them talk. Because you don't know when they're going to talk again. But let them talk. It's not always important for you to run your mouth, ladies. You want to get to know the real man, the real him. No matter what. No matter what he's going through. So when he acts out, don't take it personal or blame yourself. You got to worship your man. You got to make him feel like he's the best thing that you've ever had. And vice versa, man. I'm telling you, this, it's time to heal the relationship, you guys. It's time to heal the relationship. You married her for a reason. You married him for a reason. If he was great, then he's still great. If she was great, then she's still great. Ain't nobody perfect out there, ladies. Men, ain't nobody else perfect. You got, and if you got a Jezebel you looking at, just know she ain't gonna be there. She ain't gonna be there long. That Jezebel ain't gonna be there long. But you know the one you got, you know what you got. You don't need what you got for something that's a fault because her little poo-poo was good. That's what's gonna happen when you get old. When you get tired of it, what you gonna do? Come on, it's got to be more to it than poo-poo. You got to continue growing, to continue learning, continue knowing. Ladies, we are to breathe life into our men. Physical affirmation. He needs to be touched and hugged. He needs this. You are worshiping your husband with your cooking. You are worshiping your husband with your poo-poo. I'm just saying. When you go on shopping, you give him a pair of drawers. When you go on shopping, get him a bottle or something. When you go shopping, when you go out, you bring him something back. You bring him something back. You don't just, honey, I need some money, and you go on shopping, you just buying you something. What is this stuff? What is here? Our men have not been taught how to love black women. They don't know how. And I don't think that we as women know how to love them either. It's hard to be shown hatred, trauma for 400 years. We've never been shown love. We've never known love. Our parents didn't know it. Our grandparents didn't know it. Our great-grandparents definitely didn't get it. Our great-great definitely didn't get it. They were raped. They were thrown. They were kicked. They were beat. They were whipped. They were embarrassed. They were told they were nothing. And then we allowed them to teach our children the same thing. This is why I believe in total separation. We've got to come from among them. This is not going to be easy, but we're going to have to start somewhere to do better. We've got to be very careful because some of our men have seen some very dysfunctional behaviors from their mothers. And their boyfriends have treated their moms like crap, so they've learned from bad behaviors. They've learned from very bad behaviors from boyfriend, mom's boyfriend, who could possibly have treated them like dogs. You know, you understand? You have to understand that even some of those boyfriends might have taken your husband's innocence away. This is stuff that needs to be discussed, ladies, because a lot of our men have been abused, but they would never tell you. They can't. They won't ever tell you, you know, my mom's boyfriend molested me. And if you did hear that, ladies, how would you react to be able to allow that man to tell you anything? And you not bring it up. You not bring it in his face when you get mad at him. You got to look at that. So when your children, your little boys start acting up, ladies, you got to get to the bottom of that to find out what's going on. We've got to start healing up our children, healing up ourselves so that we can have healthy children. Because some of us are so damaged that we bring on damaged kids. We damage our babies are damaged. So we just continue the cycle of dysfunction. This is why you see so many gay boys. Dads, you have got to step back up. They need you. I don't understand. I need a show. Why do we treat our children? Why do parents treat their children the same way your father treated you who wasn't there? Why would you do that to your son now? You remember the pain? Do you remember when dad wasn't there? Do you remember when you need to talk to him, ladies? Did you remember when you need to talk to daddy about that little boy and daddy wasn't there? Do you remember, men, when your dad wasn't there for you? He didn't teach you how to pee. He didn't teach you how to put the toilet seat down. He didn't teach you how to communicate. Do you remember the hurt? Then don't pass that down to your sons. Our sons are crying out right now, and our daughters are crying out. We got so much dysfunction in the black community. Women can't teach boys how to be men. Men, when you're leaving these women, why are you leaving going to somebody else that's not as good as what you got? Because her poo-poo was good? But guess what? It won't last like it's not going to be like that always. Your son needs you. Take your son with you if you're going to leave. Take him with you. But what are you teaching him? What have you taught your son? Man, I'm talking to you. When was the last time that you actually told your son, I love you, son, and patted him on his back, patted him on his shoulder? When was the last time you told your son you loved him and then showed him by being there, going to his game? This is where the dysfunction comes. It starts as children. It started as a child. Ladies, it started out when you chose to have sex with that man when you didn't even know him. You didn't even know that man. You had sex with him. And then you found out, I don't even like him as a person, but I got a baby with him. And you found out he wasn't a good dad. But you didn't know that because you didn't get to know him before you got pregnant, before you had sex with him. Then you pregnant first date. 30 days, 2 weeks. And you pregnant. 30 days, you pregnant. You didn't even get to know him. Why are you pregnant in 30 days? That's why we have birth control. You can't have a baby with every man. And if you are having a baby, you got 5 baby daddies. You need to stop and get some help. You need to see a therapist because you got some things going on with you, lady. If you got 5 baby daddies, you didn't have a baby by every man you done met, then you need to stop it, take a step back, and get you some help. It's time for us to deal with us. It's time for us to get healing. It's time for us to separate. I believe in homeschooling. I believe that we can get a cyber school going. And we have, we rent a building, and we start our first and second and third graders. And we have a big screen, because that's when it's most important, first, second, and third, fourth, fifth graders, at least in elementary. And you can do the sixth and seventh later. But we got to start young. We got to retrain. We got to start retraining. We got to start retraining the minds. We got to start telling them who they are. We got to give them, Black history is so important. We got to teach them how to invest, teach them how to be entrepreneurs, teach them how to be have their own business. We got to put those plumbing classes back in schools, electrician classes. Remember we used to have the tech? We got to get back in there. Have a plumber to come in your high school. Have a plumbing class. Have an electrician class. It's going to teach them how to start from the big basics. We're going to get back. We're going to have an electrician class. It's like you used to have a automotive class. We're going to have an electrician and a plumbing class. And we're going to start teaching our boys in high school for 4 years, and they're going to come out with a certificate. And then they're going to come out and take the test in that field so that they can have their own business. That's what kind of school I want. We got to do something. We got to start teaching trades in schools. All this college money, all this money for college. Dr. Borswacken has a class, entrepreneurship, real estate class, how to spend money. We need to have that in our classes, our colleges, how to spend money. Black folk family, we don't know how to spend. We don't know how to save. We don't know how to invest. Why don't we understand how to do the stock market? I want everybody to go out and buy some stock. Get you some stock. Dr. Borswacken has it. He will walk you through it. Look Dr. Borswacken up, and he will walk you through how to invest, how to get your first stock. You can get it in makeup, ladies. You can get it in car, Max. You can get it in jeans. You can get it in whatever, clothing, whatever you do and whatever you spend your money on most. Coffee, Starbucks, Apple, I'm just guessing. But it is time for us to come back together. We cannot do this fighting each other the way we've been fighting each other. White folk love this. But we have to do something different. And it is time for us to do something different. And when they come after us, we come together and team up. We are the only ones that will jump on their bandwagon when they talking and disrespecting our men, ladies. Stop it. You do not go against your own. They didn't go against Harvey Weinstein, did they? But you'll go against Bill Cosby. They didn't go against Kevin Spacey, did they? They didn't go after David Bowie, did they? They didn't go after Kirk Douglas, did they? Who raped 16-year-old Natalie. They didn't go after him, did they? But they'll go after Kobe. And you'll jump on the bandwagon, Gail and Oprah. Shame on you. Don't you ever go against your own for them. We don't go against our own. Just like they don't go against their own, they're on cold. We're going to get on cold. Let's get on cold, family. Let's get on cold, Black family. Let's get on cold. Let's get on cold. We start letting our men know how important he is, and we start treating him like a king. You find out who he really is. You worship him. Okay? Correction with love. Like I said, a lot of men haven't been taught how to love. They've been taught incorrectly. We've seen our moms, they've seen their moms bring men and women, bring men out, in and out of the house. They don't take their frustrations out on the person that caused the problem. Instead, they take them out on the woman that they get in relationship with. Okay? Everything they do in that relationship may be totally toxic. But they're only acting out what they've been taught. So they need correction. And Black women, you can be their best teachers as long as the correction is in love. Even if it's tough love, they will back up and receive it. They may fight in the beginning, but they're going to receive it. It takes compassion to properly give correction, you guys. because you have got to understand the problem that he's been through and grasp why he's behaving like he is. Proper correction will take a person, make him be accountable for their actions, okay? But you don't want to do the victim correction that makes them feel powerless. And that's counterproductive. It's not going to hurt. Because to really heal a broken man, he needs that power to pull himself up out of the gutter. He needs you. We are their number one power source. But women, you have got to love yourself more than you love him. When he sees that you're taking care of yourself and loving yourself, you've got to you've got to love on you as to, and sometimes you have to show him how you want to be loved. You understand that? You change it because they don't know how to love. You start showing them, if you like your nails done, you get your nails done. Buy somebody black. Leave these Chinese shops alone. I'm totally against. Leave them. Don't spend another dime at a Chinese shop. There's black folk out here. Nail techs, where are you? Barbers, where are you? Hairstylists, where are you? Okay? Buy black. Okay? He will, once he sees the love that you have for yourself, he will do two things. He will become a hater and begin to sabotage everything you do. He will be the reason, it's the only single reason that every blessing that you get falls, okay? Or he will see you loving on yourself, and that would influence him to treat himself the same way. Now if you get the first man that he sabotages everything, that's not the one for you. He's not into you. But when you got a man that shows you that he's loving himself, you are going to you're gonna teach him how. You're gonna show him how you need to be loved. And he's gonna step it up. Okay? It's still more. We're gonna talk more about this, okay? Don't get him playing the game with him. Many black women make the mistake when they first meet somebody, they get caught up on the game, on the things that really don't hold any weight, like his car, handsome, you know, penis size, but nothing about his emotional health. You've got to get to the place where you want more, okay? Many women want suckers for book smart men that can carry a conversation, but they are unaware that the man only reads those books in order to mask his hurt. Come on now. He became an intellectual that never got help from his childhood issues, and that can be extremely confusing to a woman. Cause men that can keep a conversation going sounds as if they had their stuff together, but that's far from the truth. When you go on a date, get right to the point. Ask questions about his childhood, his parents, his fears, things that make him tick. You want him to pull all his cards on the table. You want him to put everything on the table so you can decide if he's worth the investment, not just that tough. You have to keep in mind that he may have some dysfunction, okay, in his DNA. So if you have his baby, that child may have some dysfunction also, okay? Don't start drinking and drugging and having sex, okay, with the first guy you meet, because you're going to overlook a lot of red flags, okay? There's no such thing as a soulmate. Everything comes down to what we can tolerate from a person. So make sure you have certain deal breakers and make sure that you communicate in the beginning so you can decide if a broke man is worth loving. Okay? Come on, I'm just saying. We're going to talk more about this, you guys. I know I said it was just going to be for a minute, but I'm going to end the episode. But I just want us to really understand that it's time for us to bring it together. It is time for us to bring it in, and it's time for us women to get the healing that we need so that we can be what that man needs us to be for him. Because I'm telling you, our men have been through so much hurt, and it is time for us to love them through that hurt. And by you questioning him on that date, ask questions, hard questions. Stop trying to sleep with the man first date because he look good. Stop it. It's time. You're going to have time for that. Because they look good, you want to know that they got a good heart, a good head, that they're all, you know, you don't want a man. You want to know that this man didn't leave him when he was two, or he had mama issues. You need to find out if he got mama issues, or his dad wasn't there, if he got daddy issues, or he's got relationship issues, commitment issues. You need to find this out. You need to know what you want, ladies. Just because he look good, oh, I don't care, as long as he look good. No, he could be looking good and jacked up in every area of his life. He could be schizophrenia, but he look good. But you're going to be miserable for the next 20, 30 years, too, with that joker because he crazy. And have never taken care of that issue to find out the root of that, where that schizophrenia coming from. And then guess what? You have a baby by him and your baby got schizophrenia. No, find out his family. Find out what's in the family. Because what's in his family is what your son is going to look like or your daughter's going to have. Because those traits pass down. So find out if he's a nut or not. And if he's a nut, that's not somebody you want to have in your life, ladies. It is not somebody you want to have in your life, somebody, if they're crazy. So I'm going to need for you to get it together. I'm going to need for you to want something more. I'm going to need us to clear our heads. Ladies, I'm going to need for you to clear your head and want something out of life. You feel me? Because we have both been through a lot. We have both been through a lot. And it's not easy. We live this thing every day. We live this hatred and this trauma every day. We go to these jobs. This is why we're going to work this year on getting our own. My dentists and doctors and attorneys, you three, get offices. Or either you can get your office, plus you can help somebody else with their businesses, dentists and doctors. You guys have extra money. Why can't you pay $1,000 extra toward somebody else's rent for 6 months until that business gets off the ground? You can take three doctors, and you can write it off on your taxes, you guys. Doctor, lawyers, and dentists, those three can take the $6,000 and put towards somebody's business for the next 6 months, pay their rent up for $1,000, and hopefully their business won't cost that much, that building. And they can pay their electric, especially if they have four or five of them together. Like my plumbers, my electrician, my carpenter, my painter, that's four, okay? So instead of you having to pay rent for 6 months, you're going to start stocking your dollars, but you're going to pay the electric. Ain't gonna pay for the phone. Well, you have your cell phones, but you'll pay for you're gonna have to have an office phone, I guess, huh? Or maybe not. Well, yeah, I will get an office phone, that way you'll still have a number for your clients to call, you know, when they can't get you on your cell phone because you are the sink plumbers or on the toilet plumbers or whatever you guys do. You understand what I'm saying? We gotta pull our money together. We can't do this by ourselves. They're not gonna give us any loans. And doctors and lawyers and then these are not loans. These are you helping out. This is stuff that you can write off on your taxes. So pick a group and get a group together and say, hey, I want to help you guys with your first business. I want to take care of your rent for 6 months. And you can start up several businesses. You can do it for two groups, two sets of groups, 6 months for one and 6 months for another. And that's $12,000 that you can write off on your taxes. That's $12,000 that you can get back from your taxes. That's money that you can get back. That's another way of you investing. That's another way of you giving back. So I'm going to need for us to get our heads together and come in and do this thing and get our own. And some of these schools, the cyber school with a big, huge screen, hook up yourself with another school that's going, that's already going. And you put a camera and have a screen, and you start your school that way in a room, and you have a tutor that can help that child make sure those kids, you may start with 5 or 10 kids in one class, and you're going to make sure that you have somebody in that class that's a tutor, that's certified, CPR certified, that has, you know, good background and not blusters because your name is on that school, and you'll have cameras in that school, and you're going to make sure that they are there to make sure that there are no questions, that they're acting like they're behaving, and they're doing their assignments, they're turning in their assignments, you're checking their assignments. That is why you're there. But they have a teacher that's on the screen, so if they have questions, they can raise their hand, and you can tell the teacher, hey, so-and-so got a question, this is his question, and then she can explain it. Well, you know what I'm saying? We can do this. We have to get our children from under them. Until we start teaching our own children, this is the mess that we're going to have to contend with. So the abuse continues. Only a fool would continue allowing their children to be taught by their enemies. Malcolm X said that. And I wish we had a went with Malcolm X because he was coming around. But that's not what we did. We didn't do that. No more Stockholm Syndrome. Time to heal our relationships, black man and woman. Are you up for the challenge? We can do this. We can do this. And I want you to hold each other accountable. We have so much fear of ourselves, fear of the others, lack of self-compassion. We are just, oh, God, we have so much. We can do this, but it's going to be up to us to do it. It's going to be up to us to do it. Are we ready to start the process? Are we ready to do this? We can do it, but you got to be ready, and you have got to stick with it. You can't just want to do it today, and tomorrow I don't want to do it next. No, but stop dating these white Beckys. Stop it. You've got to stop dating. You've got to get your head wrapped back around your black women and kings. It is time for you to see your women the way you used to. And you were hurt by one. I'm sure white Becky didn't hurt you before, but you gave her a second chance. But you can't get a black woman. And stop expecting us to be 5 zeros when you allow them to perform 500 pounds and you're okay with it. You allowing them to be, you know, living like nastiness, and then you want us to be immaculate. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. What you expect from them, expect from us. Time for you to get some healing, black man, king, and come on back to your queens, because we cannot any longer do this by ourselves. Our boys are in, our children are in a 911, and they are overwhelming our babies with homosexuality. They are trying to genocide our babies, our culture. And if you guys are watching Sesame Street, turn it off. Boycott it. Turn the TV off. Turn off the TV. Turn off Disney, because Disney got some stuff on there too. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Turn it off. Look up the history of Disney World and Disneyland. Look it up. It's garbage. Start spending more family time together. Start having more family time. It is time for us to heal, and we can do this. But it's going to take us doing it together. But I know I didn't, I said I was going to be here now. I went over a little bit. But I hope I've helped you guys to understand that it is time for us to do what we need to do. We think that our enemy's children have forgiven us. And if they don't have no problem with us, they don't like you. They don't always told you. They tell you that every time. It'll have a knife in your hand, stabbing you in the back, and smiling. And you say, did you just stab me in the back? Oh, no, I didn't stab you in the back. Oh, no, I love you. I got you. Oh, girl, you know what? Girl. And then go over there and talk about you with Phil. Girl, you know that cat. We've been waiting on them to tell us they hate us. They show you every day. They show you every day. We sell our own for them. We sell our own for them. Take back our children and start teaching them ourselves. But I'm not going to be on here long. I am done with this. Peace and blessings, family. I'm out, and I hope you have a great week. And I'll see you on Thursday at 7 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you Thursday night. Peace, family.
Against your home, the enemy came up against your children, the enemy came up against your name, the enemy came up against your character. You will win, win, you will. Came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will.